Hamilton never attracted the attention of biographers, dime novelists, or promoters of Wild West shows. But he did ignite the imagination of his fellow mountain men. The present script has evolved through four main stages. 1. The oral accounts of Del Gew, who trapped with the Liberator in the 1850s and 60s. 2. The recollections of White Eye Anderson, another mountain man who, at 90 in the winter of 1940-41, relayed many tales told him by Del Gew between 1885 and 1900 to his interviewer, Raymond W. Thorpe, adding to Del Gew's hoard exploits that Anderson had heard about directly from Johnson and from other mountain men about Johnson. 3. The researches, correspondence, and interviews collated by Thorpe, a non-academic historian of the fabled far western frontier. And finally, 4. The dexterous literary splicing in 1957 of Thorpe's data by the talented writer of the West, Robert Bunker. Here, then, is the personal history of liver-eating Johnson from 1847 to his death in 1900. Pieced from oral legend. We shall never know the full and exact facts in the saga of John Johnson, but we can be sure that the legend is honest, uncontaminated by hucksters and journalists, and conforming to the classic patterns of heroic tradition. Like other strong heroes, from Heracles to Tom Hickathrift, Johnson is matchless in physique, endurance, strength, and resolution. His fellow mountain men, 49ers on their way to the gold fields, traders and soldiers in the western forts, all talked of his immense frame and the power of his hands and feet with which he could twist off a man's neck or kick him high in the air. True to the conventions of the heroic age, the liver-eater constantly engaged in single combat with the 20 crows who individually pursued him, with the treacherous Ute who betrayed his force to the Nez Perce, with Sam Grant, the Negro cowboy, with the Assiniboine who had shot his friend Arkansas Pete. Whenever he had his opponent at a disadvantage, the liver-eater granted him equal or even favoring terms, giving him first draw or tossing him a knife and then crushing him with a kick and a blow. Like Beowulf and Cú Chulainn, he grappled with monsters and beat off a grizzly bear and a mountain lion in a cave with the frozen leg he had wrenched off a Blackfoot. His stamina is seen in his 200-mile escape from the Blackfoot village back to his own cabin, half-naked, in a freezing snowstorm, a feat suggestive of another mountain man marvel, the return of Hugh Glass, mauled by a bear and left for dead by his companions in the wilderness, crawling hundreds of miles through Indian country to Fort Kiowa. True also to the epic formula, Johnson possessed prized weapons and a remarkable steed that share the luster of their owner. As with Beowulf's sword, Runting, and Davy Crockett's rifle, Killdevil, the matching rosewood-handled Walker Colt and Bowie knife of Johnson became his trademarks. He took pains to regain them from his Blackfoot captor, the Wolf, and when after the Civil War he changed weapons to a richly encased stone tomahawk given him as a tribal antique and a 45 Army Colt, these too became legendary. So with his horses, which recall the winged Chariots of Prince Marco and Cú Chulainn's furious mount, the Grey of Macha, Crow Killer's big black, watched over his master, scented Indians, and allowed none but his master near him. In keeping with the heroic character, John Johnson is a man of sentiment and honor, and for all his seeming savagery, remains faithful to the code of the mountain man. It was the murder of his flathead wife and unborn baby that led to his liver-eating vendetta against the Crow.